Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Ruth Ann Friend. Before I bring her on, I have to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on Odyssey. And we're always available on all popular podcast platforms. And definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you get all of our premium content. I also want to tell you about how you can protect yourself from harmful EMF radiation with EMF Harmonized. They offer protection from harmful electromagnetic frequencies for your phone, computer, or tablet, and your routers. I have one on all of my devices. It's just a small disc that goes directly on there. I've already noticed a huge difference of not feeling groggy. I sleep better at night, and I have much more energy during the day, even after spending hours in front of my computer or near my phone. You can also get their awesome bracelets, offer the same protection as the strips, and the products were created by a mechanical engineer with 3 decades of experience in EMFs and telecommunication. Just click that link in the description to check out what EMF Harmonized can do for you today. Today, I want to welcome Ruth Ann Friend. She is the author of 3 books and a contributor on a 4th. She is a Reiki master practitioner, teacher for nearly 30 years, a clairvoyant reader, and practices hypnosis. She and her son David led a family earth life among loved ones and a secret life with extraterrestrials. The being's agenda was to arrange their own messages to speak their words of truth to humanity. In her last book, Aliens Within Our Own Selves. Ruth Ann, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I love having people like yourself that are lifelong experiencers. It helps my audience understand. It helps me understand what's really going on with this phenomenon, because in so many ways, I think, science has let us down with this. And I think we need to come together as a community with not only the scientific researchers, but some of the more consciousness-based researchers. I think we could learn a lot more about what's going on with this phenomenon and studying the stories from people like you who have had these experiences. Now, you've had a lifetime of experiences, so I think a good place to start would be the beginning. Could you tell us about some of your earliest memories of contact experiences?
Well, yes, that was when I was a little girl, probably about 4. And I remember I would go with these beings in the night, and I loved it. They were so kind, so loving. I felt so good. I didn't really even care about coming back home to where I lived. So that was my first experiences.
Now, what could you describe what these beings look like? Do you remember at all?
No, I don't remember too much about how they looked. I really don't. I think they were like a smaller bodies, though. They weren't like an adult size. I do know that. So I took it was probably some of the small grays later on when I realized that they were there, you know.
Now, how long did this continue? You said you were about 4 when it first started. Was this just continuous through your childhood?
Yes, it was. And in fact, I could also see into the paranormal and spirit worlds, but I didn't understand. So when I was real little, I was afraid, but I knew my mother. I overheard her many times talking to my dad. She could see things, and she would tell him ahead of time Uncle so-and-so is going to pass, and we'd get a phone call in a couple of days. I remember when my grandmother passed, she told my father at the dinner table, your mother is behind you and she has her hand on your shoulder and I'm to give you a message. So I realized in later years, yes, I got that through my mother. And my son and I were exactly the same. So when he was little, I could see in him.
Now, you were seeing full apparitions and able to communicate with them?
Yes, I've always pretty well tried to communicate with them, because many of them, when I see them in spirit, some don't even know they've died. They're just kind of, they don't know what's happened. Maybe some traumatic accident, something fast, or even when they've been sick a while. So my son and I were taught by the Universal Councils how to help take them over in spirit. So we would do a lot of that. I still see him very often. I don't sleep much. I'm always seeing something. I know, for instance, one particular time we were in a restaurant eating, a young couple came in, and the man was very handsome. The woman, her face was very, very distorted to me. And I just looked at them off and on thinking, look how much he loves her. You know, that doesn't affect him at all. He loves her spirit, her soul. And when we got out, I said to my son, I said, wasn't that wonderful? You know, how much that young man loves this woman, you know, he's with, when her face is so distorted and had been disfigured. And he looked at me so funny and he said, Mom, she was beautiful. He saw her that particular time in a whole different way. And then we both realized and got the information. They were going to get in that car, get on the interstate, and there was going to be an accident with fire. And that was how her face would have looked later. So sometimes we got different things.
So you would get premonitions as well of, you know, future events.
Yeah, I had gotten the future premonition, yes.
Now, what age did you realize that, you know, you were different, that this phenomenon was not something that most people experienced? And what, you know, what age did you start to kind of understand your contact experiences?
It was almost as if I was going through all these different levels, you know, as I'm growing up, but I'm not questioning them really. So I wondered when I got older, it probably wasn't time yet, but I can even remember taking my dog when I was little. And if my mother had ever known how far, I would know to walk into the country. And when I got there, I knew the place to go in the woods, and then I would just sit down and wait. I never questioned later what I was waiting for, because the next thing I knew, I was back home. So those things just kept happening. All kinds of different things would happen. And that's the way, that's the only life I know. I don't know what people might call a normal life, because I live in different dimensions all the time with different things going on. And I travel a lot in spirit with my extraterrestrial families. We do things together. We work together. I write about all of this, and we go on certain missions, and we help other things. So that's how my life has been.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about the High Council that you mentioned and the extraterrestrials that you're in communication with? Did they give you like a name of their race or species or anything like that? And, you know, could you tell us about some of the experiences that you've had with them?
Well, first off, one time I asked them what species I was from, because when I finally started hearing of these conferences, people were always this or that, and I thought, well, I'll ask. And they said, you are not just of one, you are of many. You are of many species. So that's how they answered that. And I wasn't too surprised, because of the places that I would be with them, the species would look different a lot. So I was glad to get that answer. And I'm sorry, what was your next question?
I was going to see if you could maybe describe some of your experiences. Were they physical contact experiences? Were you taken in your sleep? You know, how did that work?
Okay, a lot of them were physical. Just like when they would work on my son when he was dying, they would take my blood, and they called it wash his body with my blood. I don't understand that, but I don't have to. I also, many times after I'd been with them, when I woke up again, I might have a mark or bruise on me, and immediately one was there and apologized and said that happened on re-entry back into our world here. So that was pretty interesting. Like I said, it was nothing big, but I would know. Then there were the times that I have a picture I'm bringing. My pajamas would be on the floor, or I would wake up sometimes and my clothes would be on me, but they would be inside out and backwards even. So, you know, I had a lot of different ways that I knew that I was with them, which I had no doubt. I used to be on the ship and watch them take from my son hair and his blood at that time and bone, shave the bone. And they looked at me and they saw my curiosity, or do they know you? And they said, we are using this to help make a new medical cure for Earth. I have no idea what that meant other than that. So they were using a lot of his human body.
And what did these beings look like?
Most of them that I saw were, I don't think I ever saw the tall grays people talk about, but these were just more the ordinary look that a lot of people would think with the large eyes and so on, but not the council. The council was a completely different thing, but the ordinary ones. And I've been on ships with them when we were going on missions. And I remember on the one not too long back, I had on a uniform. And I remember I looked over at my arm and I had a red patch on this arm and I had something else on this arm. And when we got to the location, I was supposed to call out a command or whatever they were going to do. And they said this was to help humans very much because it had to do with a hurricane. I think it was in Alaska. I have it all written down. And there weren't, do you remember that a couple, 3 years ago, but no one was killed?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's what I'm talking about. And it was a miracle. I mean, you know, how could no one? Well, that was the mission that I remember and I had on the uniform and I had to call out when to do what, you know. So I remember a lot of things and I do try to write about everything. In the very beginning, years back, they said I was to write everything down to, you know, like a journals, keep journals, you know. So I always have. I've got tubs of books that I've written down because it's my life. I write the date, the time, what happened, who I was with, what I think or think, you know, as best I can on some things. I don't have all the memory. Well, they take your memory away a lot. And they told us the reason they do that, and I didn't know this. They said a human's can hold about 10%. Well, I had no idea. But they said you and your son hold 100%. So we are giving you everything in small portions. So I write about this, the portions in the book, and why it has to be just a little at a time, because they said we use your terms. If we didn't do it that way, it would be, as you might say, blow the mind. So they couldn't overload us all the time. So all my life, I get a lot in small portions.
Now, the High Council, are these kind of, I guess, more of celestial or angelic beings? What are they like?
Yes, they are very tall. All the ones I've ever seen, white hair. And some don't have much hair. And they're just magnificent beings, this bright light that they are. And their face looks, to me, more human, and it's both. This is how they look to me, the ones I've experienced. And that's the four, and that's the four who come here, too. I've seen them here in my home many times. And at one point, I described, we came in from the hospital and they had taken all the cushions off of my sofa and they had four in a curve on the floor and then two a little ways from. And then they had a note on the floor, which I have a letter, and it said that the four cushions were for the council and the two were for thy son and you. They speak in a lot of words like that. Thy son and you. And we were to face the east because we found out long ago they said we were from all four directions, which was very rare. And our main one is the east. So that's why they had two cushions facing the east. And they came that night for a special reason, and I tell all about it in the presentation and what it meant.
What kind of relationship in general does this High Council have with humanity? Were they responsible for creation in any way?
They love us. They love us. They love humanity. I've never asked the question like you did. I don't know how to exactly answer that, but I know that they are the most love and compassion and intelligence that you can't even describe. We wouldn't even have the words for. And I know that they're right under our creation, just right there. And they're just, I just love it when we can go with them or see them on the ships. And they have been teaching us for a long, long time, all through the years.
Now, what age did your son start to have experiences, and how did you find out about those?
The first time that I was sure of it, he was 5 years old. And my family remembers this. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I'm going to die real young. He already knew his, and he knew that we were going to work together in our life. He knew these things, and he was just the little kid. And I think everybody was just probably shocked because I don't remember any responses, you know, from anybody. I think it just was so strong of that he knew. And they're probably wondering, well, how could he know that, you know, but he knew, and he died young. And I knew when he was going to pass, and it was excruciating knowing through my life that he would die young. Because even though I see him all the time, we still work together and talk together, it's still different. But then again, I know how blessed I am that I get to have this kind of contact with my loved one.
That's very interesting. Right. Now, did he also have contact experiences with these beings from a young age?
Yes. And everything that I write about and we did and I've been talking about, we did together. Even when he lived in Tulsa, it didn't make any difference because you can go anywhere when you're out of body. And we were still doing all this. When he was in the service, we were still doing all these things. It's never ended. That's the way our contract was. And that's something that goes back before we each were born.
Now, along with your contact experiences, you have also had many paranormal experiences. You know, so you've seen full body apparitions where you've actually communicated with these spirits. And earlier you were telling me that you've actually communicated with certain ascended masters and people like Edgar Cayce, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, that's very interesting. How did that come about?
Well, when Edgar got ready to reintroduce himself to me, he started putting, and I'm going to bring this, a big EC in the rug in front of my dresser. And I thought, well, which one's doing this? Who the heck is this? Well, my son, he was already sick, getting sick. And I remembered when I went into his room, he had a little red book on his nightstand, I think on these things. And I had never asked him what that was. And one day, I know I was programmed too, so I would finally, it was time for me to learn. I asked him and he said, oh, that's Edgar Cayce's book. So Edgar started letting me remember him again through this way. The next thing I knew, we had I call it a holy box on the dresser. My son had got it at a sale, and it's a healing box. And since we both worked in healing, Reiki, there was candles in it had never been used. There was a prayer message for the sick and so on. And Edgar would come, and I'd find the EC, and the box would be open. And then he started putting little messages in the box. And I remember he used, do you know what those old word processors were?
Yes.
That's the first thing I ever had was only a word processor. He had started on the word processor. And the first time I came home and found a message on it, I think I almost fainted because it was a long time back. But he began to come where I could see him. And he had a lot to do with me teaching Reiki, because that's, you can use that energy, utilize it as a form, you know, in your healing work. And it's for a spiritual, mental, you know, physical and emotional. And he actually, with two of my other teachers, led me to a college south of here where I began to teach Reiki. Well, never in my life did I think I'd teach anything, never even thought of it. But it all happened that way. And the way it happened, one night when I sat down on the bed, I just sat down, I heard this voice say, "What dost thou seek most?" And I called out to help others. And then I looked, and it was an angel type being, the being of light, and was almost as tall to the ceiling. And then it left. And the next morning I saw it again by my bed before I got up, and it said, "Go to the mirror and hold your palms upward like this." And I did, and said, "Look in the mirror now." And I did, and I saw light shoot out of my eyes, my nose, my mouth, my heart, and then come out of my hands, just like that. And then I heard the words, "You will go into a healing ministry." And I did. And I did all of that way. I was directed and told, everything in my life was pretty well that way.
So that's amazing.
I was really proud to teach it.
And you have, your books were kind of also directed through extraterrestrials as well, right?
Yes. The first ones was, like I said, Under the Rainbow Crossing, it was time, they said, to educate people. And they wanted people to know, you know, we have a lot of people very afraid of dying. I mean, they're terrified. And when they get old, they're still that way. And hopefully, I think this book has helped a lot of people, because we go on. We're merely moving on, you know, and yet we can connect here in the way people call ghosts or whatever. Second one with him, they wanted his life. He gave his life to pass away young in order to teach many things, and many, and his miracles were teaching many doctors things that shouldn't happen, couldn't happen, but did happen. And it was helping other people around him that, you know, he had two DOAs, and he shouldn't be married. I mean, he was gone a long time. There was a certain heart surgeon, he's a very famous guy over in St. Louis, and when I rushed him in one night, he was almost gone, and the heart surgeon came in a few days later with all of his colleagues, and he said, "Young man, I've only read a few pages of your chart, and it's as thick as a Chicago phone book for as young as you are. May I just shake your hand?" He said, "There is no way, no way in the world you can be laying in that bed alive." And, you know, he would have wonderful things that I could write about to people. Never give up. Keep your hope and keep, you know, and see that miracles are real. So he had a lot he came here to teach. And then, of course, the aliens within. Then it was the first time I didn't know what I was ever supposed to do with anything all those years. We kept it all secret. And when they said that I was to write their truths, their words would come through this book, I was so astounded. And all those messages, all those years that they had me transcribe, I had them all, and I had all kinds of evidence. And they said, "The reason we give you so much is because humans always have to have proof." And they, you know, I mean, they know us. And I'll tell you one other thing. They love this planet. They love this planet. A lot of people think, oh, they're going to come destroy it. No, no, no. They love Earth. And they're trying to help. And just like when they took a lot of David's things out of his body and so on, and have worked with us since we've been here, trying to help make cures. And you know, a lot of the cures that come through, I mean this in a good way, say a scientist or doctor's mind isn't always all their thoughts. They're put there. And the person's so creative and talented anyway. But I thought that was all so amazing when I found all that out.
That
so
is.
All through my life, I've been, they always said, we are coming tonight. And they might write on my notebook 10 p.m. or 8 p.m. And I knew we would go with them, and we will be in school. So we've been in school most of our life also to re-remember. We've known all of this before, they said, all before in other times. So they had to do the small portions to bring these things back to us, because our brain couldn't hold all of it at once.
Right. And earlier you were telling me how all of your experiences were positive experiences. Do you know of, or do you think that there are bad extraterrestrials with not so good intentions for our planet that may be, a competing race against these good extraterrestrials?
Yes, I sure do, because a lot of times when we would go with them, that's what we were doing. They said there are wars in the different universes, not one universe, the different universes everywhere. And we are fighting, that's what they're fighting, the bad. So we would be going with them on those journeys sometimes. I know another night I had two experiences I can tell you if we still have time.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. My daughter was very sick. She'd gotten cut really bad in an accident, and I rushed to the hospital. This was just last summer. And after they were done and she did get to go home, I was exhausted. I had been so concerned about her, and I thought, I'll go to town, and while I'm there, I'll get a cup of coffee. It's a restaurant I went into every once in a while. I liked it a lot. And when I got there through the big window, I could see everybody in there. And when I started to open the door, which was a solid door, it wouldn't open. It was like it was locked. And a man next door was working on his shop. And I finally said, did they just close or something? I can't get in. He said, well, I don't know. So I kept trying to, and I even knocked on it, nothing. I thought, well, I'm just going to go back home. So I did. And I asked a friend of mine if she was there that morning. And she said, yes, they were open. Well, then I found out from the ETs why. I asked why. Why did this happen? And they said, because there was one of the negative that was in the restaurant and looked just like a human, just like a human man. And was waiting for me, and then he was going to follow me when I left from there and do harm to me. And so that's how that one happened. And they had apparently, my ET family or one of them had kept that door locked so I couldn't go in the restaurant. Now that's how they said it was, and I believe it, because I couldn't get in there and I could see all the people. There was another time when I woke up in the middle of the night, and our ETs of light had always told me if anything happened and one slipped through their band, that they kept a band of protection around the property, the house and us, what to do. And I remember, I always know when anybody's there, whether it's a spirit or whatever, I wake up automatically and I they're there. And I looked up, and to my right was one of the ones that everybody worries about, the really bad ones. They're real scaly.
The reptilians?
Reptilian. And he actually had on some type of a uniform. And I remember he looked like he was just going to kill me right then. He was so horrible looking. And I was never afraid. That's one thing in my corner. I know their light is always around me. The council told us we would always be protected to do this work. And I started yelling at him to get out, and he was gone just like that. But he was leering down at me, and I bet he was 7 foot tall. He was huge. So that was the two experiences. I know they exist. I know they can take people and ruin their entire life, you know, when the person never forgets what happens to them and the experience. Some get health problems, all kinds of things. So I know they exist. But that's about the only two times, other than when we have been in a ship with our family in the universe doing different things. And I don't see them actually then. It's more of a warfare. But I also told me something else very interesting, that there's eight worlds, not just one. They also told us in the beginning of our memories, we were from the North Quad. And I said, well, I always called him the great traveler who came. And I knew he was a very high council being. And he had a beautiful robe on, but on the front, it had all these tiny silver, I don't know what they were, but light was kind of coming out of all these little silver things like diamond chips. And I asked him, what are those? And he talked about that it was something in the universe. It represented all the different galaxies in the universe. And I was going to tell you about the North Quad to show you they know our language so well. They say we've known it for eons of time. And he said, we have learned your humor. Because when I said, well, where is the North Quad? And he said, that would be like me asking you, where does the Wizard of Oz live? and I started laughing, of course. And then this being said, if I tried to tell you, you would not understand yet. That will come later. So I found out, yes, they have humor. They know our English. They know all these different people, you know, on Earth. They know all their languages. Now, there's nothing they don't know because they're supreme.
Now, going back to the question of, you know, bad extraterrestrials, there's plenty of people that are in the camp that a lot of the stuff that's happening on our planet right now is being caused or directed by bad extraterrestrials or some kind of off-planet influence. And there's another camp that's, you know, of the belief that it's just humans, that it's just evil humans come and kind of directing all the negativity and everything bad that's happening on our planet. I am, you know, I'm not sure. I think it is a lot humans. It could be a combination of both. But what do you think is where do you think this evil is coming from? Is it just from us or being directed from somewhere else?
I think some of it is coming from the others too, because they can plant ideas and thoughts into someone's thinking. And, you know, yes, I believe it can come that way.
Do you think that there are certain government factions or even world leaders that are under this influence?
You know, I've never really thought about that a whole lot, but I know that if they can put thoughts into doctors and scientists and things for good, I would imagine things can happen that both ways.
Yeah,
I've never asked that question.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought. Now, I want to go back to some of your paranormal experiences. Earlier, you were telling me about a spirit that would actually fold your laundry for you and you can smell cooking. Could you tell us a little bit about that? That was interesting.
Yes. Just like I said, I've never seen washcloths and towels folded that beautiful, even the best hotel. I mean, it was amazing. Also my pillow slips.
And did you find out who or what this was that was doing this?
Yeah, that her name was Carolyn. Caroline is how they pronounced it in the South. Caroline. And I tell that in fact, I have it ready for, you know, at the conference, and I show some things. I'll even show pictures of how I got Caroline, and the lady of the house was called Queenie. I've seen her walk through, too, and she would usually have a burgundy, the long dresses, of course, and the little buttons up the front and things like that. She used to sit in one of the chairs in my bedroom a lot. She liked that room. We really had a pretty amazing relationship with all of them. The garage man, we called him. He was the guy here that lived here at one time. He liked to putter around. And I remember I swept all the garage out one day, and I turned around, and as soon as I turned around, he had taken new paint sticks, and on the floor it said, "Hi." I took a picture. He took the paint sticks and he made hi out of it. And my husband, he used to get so aggravated. He was a builder, I told you. And he would be working upstairs remodeling. We had to remodel this whole place. It was falling down when we bought it. He would turn around to get a hammer or something and it would be gone. And he would be going downstairs and I'd say, "Where are you going?" And he'd say, "Well, my hammer's gone now, or this is gone, that's gone." So one day when he was up on the roof, we have a two-story house, and he was up on the new porch roof. And I went up the ladder to take something up there. I don't remember what it was, but he was looking for something again, stood up looking everywhere. And I said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "Well, I had a tuba for here. It's gone." He would get so aggravated because his stuff would disappear. And I said, "Oh, I was laughing." I said, "I'm sorry, but I couldn't help it." I said, "Well, let's look around." And I happened to look in the tree. We had big shade trees. I have a picture of it. It's laying way up in the top across two limbs. He had to go out and get the roofing ladder, put it way up and get another two before knock it out of the tree. But this guy loved the spirit to play all kinds of jokes. So we had a real strange relationship with all of them. I do have some music on a reel to reel. I have a little granddaughter at that time. She was 4. And we used to have a little show that we would take to hospitals and children and cancer benefits, heart benefits, you know, to help out. And we had a name for it. And she loves Stevie Wonder's song, "I Just Called to Say I Love You." And I got her to sing it. It was so cute. She could do all of it. These little kids can. So I put her on the reel to reel. And she could practice. And years later, one day, I was cleaning upstairs. And I thought, you know, I wonder if that song's still good on there. I would love to hear it. Started playing it. Her little voice was on there. But then, when it was over, I know there's a time, it's a sound they give me when we go into another dimension. It's the funniest sound. And each time I've ever heard that, I know that something's happening. And what happened was the song came back on, I played it, and it was all 7 of them singing, "I Just Called to Say I Love You."
Oh, wow.
Now, after that many years of being around them and knowing how good they were and still living in their dimension and our dimension and our consciousness, we're all together somehow. And when that happened, I taped it on cassettes. And that granddaughter's grown now. I gave her a copy of that cassette. And she, of course, remembered practicing that song and doing that Christmas show. But I didn't see anything they couldn't hardly do. I'd hear piano music at night. My husband worked nights, creep down those stairs trying to finally see it in the beginning. And of course, it'd be a darkened room and the music would stop. You've heard the stories about the end of the steps, it stops. And that's true. It would stop.
Why do you think that some spirits are willingly sticking around, or are they willingly sticking around? Why are some around and some move on? What do you think is going on there?
I wish I had a good question for that. Some of them are just aggravating a family. We used to go and help people. We'd get the spirit to leave, you know, send it on. I don't know why. I had a person that got a hold of me. This is just kind of an example. And I said, in a reading, I tell him first thing, "Please don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything. Maybe your first name so I can at least call them by their name." Anyway, I told him that there was a female lady there, and she said she had been his wife. She didn't know, she didn't say this, but I knew she didn't know she had passed. And he had told me that she moves all the pots and pans, makes all this noise. She's in the bathrooms. She turns the TV on and off. He's telling me all this beforehand. And he wants to know what's going on. So then I could could quickly put that together. It's her doing all these things because she hasn't left, you know. And when I told him all of this, I said, you know, she still loves you and still loves her home, and she's just not leaving. And this is the funny part in a way. He said, well, will you tell her to get out of here? He said, I'm so tired of her being around. She's driving me crazy. And I laughed. I said, I can't help it. And I said, no. And he said, why not? And I said, you have to tell her. She will listen if you tell her your words, but I can't tell her that. So that's the way that ended. But spirits are different why they don't leave. Some, they just aren't ready to leave yet. Some don't know they've ever died. Some think that there's still things that they just have to try to find a way to do. There's all kinds of reasons. When I died in the car wreck at 16 and got sent back, I wasn't thinking about coming back. A lot of people, most of them, when they pass, they're not looking behind. They're looking at what they're going to, the spirit. To me, that's a comfort for a lot of people to know, because you're back home. You know, you're back in this other dimension. Another thing I would like to put in, they say dogs don't have souls, or certain animals. Yes, they do have souls. And many people I read for, they have their dog right with them, and I can see the dog and tell them what type the dog looks like, or maybe get a name. And, you know, that they have their dog with them, or their horse. I've had them before, you know, where they raised horses and had a certain horse. So we get taught a lot of things in old, old ways, you know, that somehow gets turned around. I'll put it.
Yeah, I mean, something else I find interesting is how some people can go their whole lives and not have any paranormal experiences, not see anything. Some people like yourself are born and have a lifetime of experiences. But, you know, some people can be with someone who is having a paranormal experience, seeing an apparition, and the person with them doesn't see anything. What do you think is happening there? Why do you think some people just are completely disconnected from that?
Well, for one thing, I don't think it's their time to experience those things. That's the main thing that I got from the other side. It's just not their time yet. The extraterrestrials taught us, I don't know how many times, you know, that everything is in timing, and everybody's timing is different. So everything has to come in the right timing. So each of us, of course, are different. But I do know that when they don't see this, or they don't see that, or they want things to happen that don't, it's not the right timing for that person. I mean, it could freak them out. It could do anything, you know, but it's not the right timing. We learned a lot about timing for a long time. It's such an important thing. They used to show us past, present, and future. I loved all that, because they could take us way back into a lifetime there, or let us watch a certain lifetime, and we could go forward, or we could see things in this time.
Speaking of time, it's probably a lot different than we perceive it. Did they give you any explanation of really how time works? Is it all occurring at once? Or, you know, do we actually have these past life experiences? Did they give you any of that information?
Yeah, I think we do have the past life experiences, because I know we both, my son and I, reviewed several of ours. And sometimes when I give a reading, if it's for that particular thing, if I get a really clear one, I can get dates, maybe names. I know a friend of mine, she it wasn't a reading, but she was under hypnosis. Then she said that she won a silver medal. She ran, you know, was an athlete, and she even knew the year and first name. And I came home and looked in the encyclopedia, and there it was right on, you know, so I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, we saw a lot of past lives. I saw a lot of the mine. I wrote them in the book. And when I passed on out of that life, you never feel anything, and you have a choice. We were given free will.
Now,
so, you know,
a question I have about reincarnation is, is it that we're just having this collective consciousness experience and we're remembering other people's past lives in our own life, or are we really being reincarnated and experiencing these different lives? What are your thoughts on that?
I really went in and I was living that life, and what they were showing me and my feelings with everything in me, I feel like I've been able to have these past lives, just like in consciousness, you know, you and the dimensions and the realms, and you know, it's like jumping to one to the other, or and watching other things, like you said. But I believe that I am experiencing them.
Now, what are your thoughts on when it comes to people's abduction experiences that say they've had experiences where they meet their hybrid children, they've had DNA experiments where they've taken, you know, eggs or sperm? It seems that a lot of these abductions seem to be experimental in some way, and it makes me think, you know, what if the whole human experience is some kind of grand experiment for these extraterrestrials? You mentioned earlier that, you know, it's kind of all about a learning experience for us. It seems like that could somehow be integrated together. What do you think about that?
Well, there's quite a few things there you mentioned, but yes, we're being watched and monitored all the time. They told us that a long time ago. And they said that we chose to come back. I hadn't even talked about that part yet. We chose to come again, and we chose to do this work, and we chose it because they want the truth out. So that's why they work through us all the time and give us plenty of evidence. So we knew that. Well, that's something you can't go around saying. I mean, at that time, thank God things are becoming more open now. What was the rest of your question?
No, I was just wondering if you think that we could be an experiment for extraterrestrials. You know, you hear the stories, the ancient Sumerian stories about how the Anunnaki genetically modified us to make a slave species, you know, and it's different things like that that make me wonder, are we some kind of, you know, experiment for extraterrestrials?
I think that we are, because that's why they sent us back to do all these things and to try to get more evidence and more answers out, you know, to people. I know every once in a while they would change a locator in us. Maybe people call it a chip. They called it a locator. Sometimes we had two locators at once, and I don't know why. One of the reasons that we come back is on the back of my book, and why they sent us here, and they watch us, and they watch everything that we do, and they learn emotions. That's how they've learned so much of Earth people, how we interact with each other, our feelings. And they said they have tried to get along with other species, but it did not work. So there's so many species out there. They talked about that and told why it couldn't work. It's just so involved, and it's a little bit lengthy, but yes, we are here, and they are watching us, and they're very saddened the shape this Earth is in at this point in time. They said we have given man many chances to change, and it never changes. It only proceeds on. They're very concerned about the planet. They love the planet. They said we love Earth, and they said, look at it this way. In bowling balls, when you're bowling and you hit it with the ball and you hit all those pins and they fly everywhere, they said if something happened to planet Earth, the universe would go out of kilter. They were teaching us about this. They don't want anything to happen to this planet. They don't show up much to get out of any UFO because they said the government has done bad things to them. And where they trusted us. They trusted us at one time. But they said we will say when disclosure is. No one else.
Well, speaking of, I'm glad you said that, because all the stuff happening with our mainstream media, the Pentagon, all this disclosure coming out of in the news every day, I wouldn't call it real disclosure because I don't really trust what's coming out. They're kind of painting it as an alien threat in a way, which, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't know about all that, but there's sure a lot of more talk about it in the mainstream now. What do you think is going on with that?
Well, I'm just hoping in all of me that people start acting different. I mean, they're just our rivers, you know, the Amazon, where they've cut down all the trees and things that we need, you know, the forests, the weather's different, the insects, the birds we're losing. It just goes on, and the people, you know, this terrible pandemic. It's kind of like I'm hoping people learn. That's all I'm saying, is that I hope people start learning and start treating people with love and compassion, and to quit ruining everything that we've got to have to continue living.
Do you think they're trying to get ahead of something by kind of disclosing this information, that know that something may be inevitable that we'll find out anyway?
Well, I can't say a whole lot, but I will say that I loved it. In fact, we wrote it down. They will say when disclosure is. No one else.
Right.
Everything we've ever been taught and told has been 100%, because they're the Christ-like beings. You know, they're the High Council, the Masters. But I just think people better shape up. I mean, I can't believe what's happening in our world. I don't think most people can.
Right. Yeah, we definitely live in very crazy times.
There's always hope. People never lose your hope, because things can change really quick.
Yeah, I always got to keep hope. You're definitely right. Things can change, and I hope they do. Now, we got a few minutes left. You've done hypnosis. Do you still do hypnosis, by the way?
When I have time.
I see. Now, do you do regressions?
Yes, I have. I've did regressions.
Could you tell us maybe about some of your more profound success stories with hypnosis and regression?
Yes, I can. I had a nurse come to me, the last one I did. Didn't know anything about her, and I wasn't prepared that day, but we went ahead and did it. And when I took her back, she was on a sailing ship. She could remember this with the big sails way back in the, I think it was 1700s. And she was, I could tell her, she was a male in that time, and all kinds of different things that she did on the ship and so on, and told her how she passed and moved her on into another life. There was a lot of details I gave her too, but I don't have my paper here. I don't want to say something I didn't.
Right.
And she was just amazed. But yeah, some of them, a doctor, he's founded a hospital. He and his wife would come to my son and I and came to my classes when I taught at the college. He was curious to what this Reiki healing was. And they fell in love with how to use energy. And he said, I'm going to incorporate that with what I do and use it the rest of my life. And he actually had a miracle. He called one day and went blind in one eye. He said he'd been to Mayo. They could not help him. And could they please come up with David and I work on him? And I said, oh, yes. To make a short story, they were here on Thursday. And on Saturday, they called. They were each on an extension, very excited. And he had part of his sight back. And on Sunday, they called at noon, just got out of church. He said, I drove the car home because he couldn't see to do it. And he said, I have 20/20, and he's had it ever since. And that's been
That's amazing.
I think that's been about 12 or 14 years now. And I just talked to him like a month ago. But he experienced a complete miracle. What I saw with him when I was working on him and giving him, I'm always calling in, you know, for the Christ-like beings, the help, the angel realms, everything. And all of a sudden, I saw a ball of light coming through the family room where we were, and it stood right in front of him, a huge ball. And I knew then a miracle was happening. And when it passed through him, I felt a swish go through my whole body and out my hands. And I knew he had a miracle. And I wasn't to tell him, though. The voice said, just tell him he had a good healing. So that's how that went. They let him find out for himself, and me too. I've been so happy about that ever since.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Now, for those that really aren't familiar with Reiki, could you describe what that is, what Reiki healing does?
It's the oldest known form of healing, and it was discovered by a Dr. Yoshui, and he was in Japan, and this is all an Eastern type healing. He taught two others, and then it went on from there. The thing of it is, it takes a long time to become a level one, and a long time to get to each level if you do it correctly. So there's four levels. You take four if you want to dedicate your life to just working in this, which we did, we have anyway. But it's an amazing thing. I can feel it when I put my hands on a person. I start to feel all this energy in my hands. And what happens with my son and I, we also would start getting information for that person. And we got to where we would finally say, if we get any information, would you like to hear it? Because we wouldn't go against them not okaying it. And you get some astounding information sometimes that can help them. I had two psychologists in my classes, and they had a dog with a tumor on its head, and it was dying, and the tumor was quite huge. The eye was too. And I said, bring it to the workshop. And we all worked on that dog at once with hands on. And, the tumor was gone by the end of the week, and the vet wouldn't believe it. He made the guy bring the dog into the office. So the dog was still alive. I think it was 7 years later when I ran into him at a fair. I have seen some miracles, but I'm not doing it. The people who learn it are not doing it. You are only passing that supreme energy. And I tell them that in the first class. If you ever think you're doing it, your ego's so big, I don't know how you're going to get through the door. But it's coming that way.
Right. That's really cool. Well, Ruth, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. That was fascinating information. Like I said, I can't wait to meet you at the Laughlin Conference. And for people that were interested in finding your books, they can do that on Amazon, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. Well, Ruth, thank you for coming by. And is there any other social media or websites or anything that they can look you up?
Well, I have my one site that I have on. I was changing that in the middle of changing that, universalconversations.com. So that's what it is. They can go to that one, universalconversations.com.
All right. Very awesome. Well, thank you again for coming by today. I can't wait to see you in Laughlin. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.
Oh, thank you.